Hey, Ryan, I'm going to take over your podcast.
I'm losing it! Yes, welcome to I'm Losing It. I am your host, Brian Kroc, and I have nothing to do with this interview whatsoever. It was not set up by me. It was all set up by Jessica. So, Jessica, take it away.
Yes, Brian has lost it again, but this time he's lost his show to me, Jessica. I'm his wife. You guys probably know us from our YouTube channel, Crocs in the Kitchen. I'm Jessica, and he's Brian, and we're the Crocs in the Kitchen. But you may not know our guest, but you may have heard about her because I'd like to talk to her on our channel all the time. She is our friend from England. Her name is Lisa, and she is joining us today to talk about some special things that she's got going on. But we're also going to talk a little bit about how we got to know her and all that kind of fun stuff. So welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hi, you guys. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, just hanging out.
Chilling.
So Lisa, we got to know you because you found us on YouTube and apparently decided that you wanted to be our friend.
Yes, I was stalking you, and then I decided that you would be my friend, and so I started harassing you with messages until you replied.
I think I replied pretty early on, probably. I don't know. I'd have to go and scroll back through our messages. But yes, Lisa had watched our show and she connected with us on Instagram and we just became friends. I think we actually first connected over Sooty, but she can say it better.
Yes, it's Sooty. Don't listen to Martin the potato mage because he says it wrong.
Sooty. Sooty. So Sooty, if you guys don't know, Sooty is a bear. You know, I have my bear Peef, but Sooty is kind of like a British version of Peef. You know, he has his own show over there. He's a little bit more famous maybe than Peef. Don't tell Peef I said that. We'll put links below so you can learn all about Sooty. But that was kind of what I think we finally actually connected over, because I had mentioned that Martin, the Great Potato Mage, our friend in Berlin, got me, who is from England, he got me to watch Sooty, and then I mentioned it to Lisa, and she was like, oh, I used to watch Sooty, you know, when she was a kid, probably, but but then we connected over it, and it kind of just started this weird friendship, and it was you know, we had chatted for a while, and then I told her Brian and I were coming to England, and Brian wanted to go to Leeds to see the Royal Armouries, and it was just destiny, because Lisa's like, oh, I'm only like 20 minutes from the Royal Armouries in Leeds. We'll meet you there.
Yep. And we had a good time walking around the Royal Armouries, and then we went for some amazing food at Bundabust as well.
Oh yeah. That was a good time. And you can actually see, we actually have videos from that trip up on our YouTube channel. So we'll link to that as well. You can actually see all the little fun we had with Lisa and all of that. But
did we show her in that video though?
Yeah, we did.
I think I generally avoid all cameras.
You avoided the video, but there are photos of you and us together, and those are on the video. So, but the moment that I remember, the first moment that I saw Lisa, she was standing in the glass tower thing at the Royal Armouries, and she was just standing there with her boyfriend Mike, and she was just waving like crazy at us, and we were down below like walking up.
So who did you spot first? Was it me?
No, it was Jessica, because she was about 20 foot in front of you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You and Martin were like lagging behind. I'm like, come on, we're gonna go meet Lisa. And so I remember just seeing her up there, and she was just waving like crazy, and I just knew from that moment, I was like, this is gonna be a good friendship. But when we met in person, we were walking around the museum, and we were just like two peas in a pod, weren't we, Brian?
Yes, you were.
And then we exchanged gifts, and of course she gave me one of the like more original kind of authentic Sooty. Did I say it right? No. She's shaking her head no. Sooty bears. It was like she went on eBay and got a really cool one for me. And of course I gave her a Peef, because like obviously I wasn't going to go all the way to England and not give Lisa, a peef.
Big peef.
Yes, it's bigger than the peef that I have. So we call him Big Peef. And he is living his life over there in England now with Lisa.
So, yeah, and he now has a Yorkshire accent as well.
Oh, does he? So other than the fact that I just really wanted to bring Lisa on the show because I just love her accent and she's like the coolest person ever, I actually wanted to share something that's really important to her that she's been doing lately. And then we'll talk about that first, and then we'll kind of go into a little backstory on Lisa and all that kind of stuff. But let's bring up the important thing first, which is sacred space. So you... earlier this year got involved with, you're a kind of like a partner you bought into with your friends to join Sacred Space, which was a cafe that they already had been running previously. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was just a little vegan cafe. They were doing it primarily to raise funds so they could eventually get land to put a bird rescue on. We're all bird rescuers, or well, any animal really, but we're working out of our homes, and so the end game is to get a good piece of land where we can have buildings on, and like a little hospital and aviaries for releasing birds that have got through illnesses or injuries. But it's expensive, and working out of your home, you can only do so much. We need to get to a point where we can help more animals and just run it more professionally as well. I mean, in over lockdown, we had hundreds of birds come through. I think because people were at home, they were seeing them in the gardens, they were noticing them more. And so we were getting more and more calls. And luckily we were in lockdown, so we had the time to do it. But we realize that we really need to be looking forward in the future to get in that bigger space. So the cafe is also to provide us full-time jobs or part-time jobs so we can pay our own bills, but also it bring awareness and people, because it is a vegan cafe as well. So we're trying to promote veganism, but in a tasty way. So initially in January, my friends, the cafe was flooded and they were offered a bigger cafe space and they needed another person to come in to make it work. So they asked me to go in on this cafe in the bigger space. And unfortunately, a little pandemic popped up and put everything on hold. But it did give us more time to focus on rescuing birds. But as I said before, it really made us realize how much we needed to raise more funds to get a bigger place and also somewhere that we could focus things in together, because a lot of rescues that you find, they can't cope in the long term because they don't have that support network for each other. So it's not also about looking after injured birds and ill birds, but also if you don't look after yourselves, you can't continue in the long term. So we finally got the cafe up and running in September. It's fully vegan. It's been really, really popular. We've created a nice environment for people to eat food in, and we're really proud of it, and it's doing really well. And we're hoping we'll go from strength to strength. And another YouTube influencer, vegan activist, Joey Carbstrong, he came and visited us a few weeks ago, and he's been helping us promote our crowdfunder so we can achieve our dreams of getting a piece of land or a property to put our bird rescue on. And I'm hoping that promoting it through our cafe as well, because obviously people come to our cafe now and they're all about saving animals. And also people, they know where we are to bring these injured animals that they find, because there's a real need for it where we live. There's not many people around actually doing it. So it's a necessity.
So do you get people who come in and they're like, oh, I really want a burger. By the way, here's this bird that I found. Can you guys help and rescue this bird?
Not yet, but they might bring us a bird and then come back later for a burger. But yeah, there's a lot of people who come in and they've got to know us through the bird rescue, and they do want to help support us by coming. And because obviously if you come to our shop and you buy a burger from us, you're helping provide us with jobs, which means, because obviously a lot of the time we're paying for all these things out of our own money. So, you know, you help me have a wage, I can buy the things I need.
Yeah.
But obviously in the long term, we need it to be more of a professional setup and it to be more or less funding itself. So, you know, we're, it'll run much more smoothly and we can do a much better job and help more animals.
So the food that you guys have, by the way, like Brian,
yeah, the pictures look absolutely amazing as far as the stuff that I've seen online, and I can't wait to try it sometime.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that
it's not whole food plant-based, and you know, it isn't something you can't lose weight and eat this food, yeah. But it is vegan.
It would be a rare and appropriate for us to do that.
It is. That would what it would be coming under.
It's definitely a rare and appropriate. I remember when you guys were doing the sampling, you were sending some pictures of the food that they were making, and there's just these amazing burgers, and of course they're all 100% vegan. And it's hard to believe, because when you look at the pictures, we'll put some links to their social media accounts for Sacred Space, so you guys can see all this amazing food that they're putting out. But I remember you and I having discussion, and you were like, we're testing salads tomorrow. We're going to have salads, because you can't, you know, obviously you can't eat that. It must be hard to be around all that food all the time and not just want to eat it. And we didn't even talk about the donuts.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to be careful. It's not food you should eat every day. I'm certainly not promoting it as a healthy lifestyle. It is treats food. It's definitely for treats,
but it's
your burgers and your donuts and cakes. Yeah. And all the delicious things that you should let yourself have now and again, but don't go crazy on, you know.
It's definitely the indulgent vegan food. But Brian and I are looking forward someday to coming out there and hopefully having a little meetup at the cafe, maybe back when the world is back to like some kind of normalcy and you don't have to restrict the number of people and all that kind of stuff in there.
Well, to see friends face to face, that would be absolutely lovely, because where I live in Bradford, we're on extra lockdown compared to everywhere else. So the only reason I see friends is because I work with them at the moment. So missing everybody.
So the cafe. Yeah. Okay. So before we move on, the cafe Sacred Space, we're going to link to it below. So tell us where it's located. It's in Hebden Bridge, right? Did I say that right?
Yeah, it's in Hebden Bridge, West Yorkshire, in the UK. It's a lovely little village, actually. I go there and I feel like I'm going on holiday every day. It's just such a nice place. Apart from the odd, it does have a tendency to flood. I mean, not, you know, like St. Louis kind of flooding. I'm not talking next to a massive river that's like the sea, Brian, but it's bad enough to do some damage, and it does it regular. So, but
Brian's,
you know, apart from that, on a good day, on a sunny day, it's a lovely place.
Yeah, I've jokingly said that when we were taking the train around different places in England, that you guys do not have fear of the river like we do in St. Louis, because there are like houses that are built like right up to it, like, you know, or apartments just built right on the river, and I'm like, it's like, doesn't anything ever flood around here? It's like, because we're used to that, just like, you know, going 15 feet above flood level stages here in St. Louis and just wrecking farms for hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, no, the whole of the UK is just so covered in rivers. You can't go anywhere you have to build next to rivers, but we don't get the same level. Although if you live next door to one and you get flooded, it's still as upsetting, I imagine.
So I hope everyone who is able to will go out and check out the cafe. And if you can't check out the cafe because you don't live in the UK like we do, well, no, I mean, like, we don't live in the UK, so we also can't check out the cafe. There is still a way that you can support the bird rescue that they do. Is it all four of you that are running the cafe? Do you all four work with the birds?
Yeah, all four of us, and also Jack, who who works with us as well. He's a bird rescue, and actually we have, you know, further reaching people who people who help us all the time. Yeah, there's a lot of us here, but we just need that extra help with the funding just to get somewhere really good and safe set up, and where we can have a proper hospital for them and just do a better job than we're doing now. We do our best, but it's not good enough in our eyes. We need to do more and we need to do better. So, but the only way to do that is with some more money, and we need help, you know, we're asking for help. So
yeah, if you can't go out and have a burger with them right now, you can still help out. We will link to the area where they're accepting donations below, and you can read a little bit more about what they're doing and all of that. But I did want to go into a little bit more about how you got to the point where you were rescuing birds. So I'm assuming it started out like after you decided to go vegan.
Well, no, I was always a kid that would pick them up if I saw them. I was okay. Like something that my dad was always into, saving animals and things.
So did you just start, like, how did you figure out what to do with them? Like my mom is like super into birds, and I remember a couple of times when she would pick up an injured bird and like put it in a box and take it somewhere, because you just don't know what to do. Like, birds are already weird. I don't know. They always try to attack me, but I have a weird fear of birds. But like you want to help them because they just look so helpless when they're hurt, but you just don't know what to do with them. So how did you get from the point where you were, you know, just a kid out there taking birds to the point where you had some videos earlier this year of you feeding the little baby birds with the little dropper, and you know how to, like, you just know how to take care of them. Is that just years of kind of practice?
Well, I always wanted to save the animals as a child, even though I was eating them. But when I moved to Halifax from where I grew up, I met my friends who I now work with the cafe. I can't remember how I met them. I must have found a bird and then somebody told me about them. So then I lived in a house where there wasn't any room to start stacking up birds, injured birds. when I moved house, I got my friends from the cafe to start teaching me how to look after them, basic first aid for them. How do you feed them? What to do if you find a tiny baby bird? And they've basically taught me all I know. Plus, as you go along, you're constantly learning. And before you know it, you've amassed a bit of information. Obviously, there's always something to learn, and it's not always fun. I've said a few times, you spend a lot of time crying because you can't win them all, and it's always very upsetting. But to be honest, I hope I never get to the point of being just blasé about it anyway, you know. Mel and Emily and Chris, they've helped. We help each other. We're there for support for each other, and ideas. If we get somebody a little bird and we're not sure what to do, we can ask each other. And I've got other friends like Christine and Zoe, and they are doing the same all the time. There's people dotted about all over the place, desperately trying to do their best to help, you know, birds. And they are like the local mad bird lady sort of thing, where people will take their injured birds, but we try to help each other, so we have a little network.
I remember you told me one time that you had a room in your house that was like, just there were just so many birds. Like I remember you were telling me that Mike was a little bit like, okay, there's a lot of birds in here.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a craft room, but it turned into the pigeon room. It's just a little box room, and I've sort of changed it as time's gone on, but it's basically like a little infirmary for birds at the moment. So I've got everything I need in there for your basic care and what have you. And I try to get them as well as possible so we can get them to the point of release and back out there flying.
Yeah.
So that's the goal, getting them back out there to live another day and fly around free.
Yeah. Well, I definitely appreciate everything that you've done. You know, I think because of my mom, we've always just had this like soft spot. Well, we could tell you about the pigeon that Brian and I saved.
Pidgey.
Like, I made him save this poor little pigeon that was in the middle of the road. Or no, he
was on the sidewalk.
He was on the sidewalk and he just wasn't moving at all. And like, again, we didn't know what to do, but we were able to find a local place in St. Louis to take him. But we ended up, well, I made Brian do it. I made him put on like a big pair of gloves and like, I was like, don't touch the bird because I don't know if he can get like bird flu or like, I didn't know what I was doing. And so we put him in this bag and we like stapled the bag closed. Right, Brian?
Yeah, she didn't want him flying out of the bag.
I didn't want him to like fly out in the car because birds like to attack me. So we had no clue what we were doing, but we did take him to...
Who has a stapler in the car?
Well, we didn't. I had to get supply. It was a whole thing. It was a whole thing, Lisa. You had to be there. But we ended up taking this bird to the... rescue place in St. Louis, and it was like pretty late at night too, and we just didn't know what to do. And so I think a lot of people see that kind of thing, but you never want to be the person that just walks by and just like lets, you know, a innocent little animal sit there and suffer. Like, you just don't want to see that. And so I think what you guys are doing is amazing, and I know that you wish you could do more. I know that you wish you had facilities to do more. And so I think that's why the cafe and, you know, the fundraising and everything is just so important, because it's really going to allow you guys to do more of that and to take it from just like having them all like in a room, you know, in your house or all that kind of stuff, to having a real space to do this stuff. And you guys are really passionate and good at it. And so thank you from all of us to you guys for even, you know, doing that and caring about it so much, because it's just, it to me, it's like such a selfless thing to do. And I just, this is me on my soapbox of like, oh my God, Lisa, you're so great. Lisa, why are you such a good person?
I don't know. I'm a saint. I really am. No, but I mean, we're hoping as well with the space that we've now got in the cafe that, oh, well, restrictions allowing, that we will be able to maybe hold some little mini classes where people can learn about your basic first aid. Because like you say, people don't know what to do when they see them. They think they wish they could help, but they don't pick it up because they don't know if, one, it's got bugs that they're going to catch, which generally they don't. You're safe generally. Just don't rub it on your face or in your eyeballs. I'm kidding. But, you know, we want to be able to help people help themselves in situations so they know the basics. What do I do? I'm so faced with this little bird. What do I do first to help?
And so they aren't just, you know, like putting birds in. So they aren't just putting birds in a bag with a stapler and screaming while their husband tries to. And actually, he ended up in the middle of the road during it because he like jumped. The little pigeon, poor pigeon, jumped into the middle of the road, and then I go, Brian, he's gonna get ran over. Save him! And we were just, yeah, yes. So some education.
I'm proud of you.
Definitely would help, but we tried. That was before I even met you. So there you go. Yeah. But anyway, again, if you guys want to check out and figure out how you guys can help, even just like, I was going to say $5, but £5, since, you know, that's what you guys use over there. Even just a little bit here and there, it all adds up and helps you guys be able to do more.
Just to share it. If you can share it, yeah, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
As
that's
well.
The thing too, is if you can't give money, just to look at it and to be aware and, you know, follow these guys on social media, follow along with what they're doing, share their posts. It all can help. You don't have to necessarily even have money to help, but just spreading the word. And that's really why I wanted to have Lisa on the show today. Thanks, Brian, for letting me take over.
All right. So this wasn't just a normal conversation for you guys that you just wanted to present to the world?
No, I wanted to.
No, we're much more goofy normally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. There's a lot more.
We've dialed it back.
We've dialed it way back. But I did want to touch, before we let you go, I did want to touch a little bit on, so we didn't really talk about it in the beginning, but you are vegan and you've been vegan for what, like 6 years now, you said?
Yeah, it's about 6 years. I think I had a practice year before that.
So how did you, what made you get to the point where you decided that you wanted to pursue a vegan lifestyle?
Well, I became aware that I was buying meat and picking around it when I was eating and eating all the vegetables and not eating the meat. And then I suddenly realized that I wasn't happy with myself at all. And I'd been a big meat eater. I loved a rare steak, but it was just an awareness that I wasn't living my life how I actually was comfortable. So I decided I was going to treat it like a project, and I would start with all the cosmetics and the chemicals that you have in your household, like cleaning products and things. And I was going to make them start buying all vegan, all cruelty free. And that was my easing my way into it. So I got all that sorted, and it was like your New Year's resolution as well. And then I decided I was going to go for vegetarian, but I knew that quite quickly I wanted to go vegan. But there were so many things that I thought I couldn't live without that I knew I had to get swaps for, or I wouldn't sustain it. And I wanted this to be a permanent lifestyle change. So I gave myself a year to find all my swaps for my vegan things, like mayonnaise and cheese and chocolate and alcohol and all your treats and things. So I got all those in order. And then the last thing that I was holding on to, which everyone says, oh, what about bacon? It was yogurt. I couldn't get over yogurt. And there was nothing that was exactly like it. So in the end, I just sort of decided that I would have to live without good yogurt for the rest of my life. And that was my compromise. So that's what I did. And to be honest, I've never looked back. It was one of the best decisions I've ever made. And it brought a good lot of peace to my frazzled brain as well. Knowing that I was doing the best I could. And what had actually tipped me over the edge was seeing a video of cows lining up for a slaughterhouse. I don't normally watch videos like that. I can't cope with them emotionally, but somehow I'd ended up watching this video, and the cows were trying to get out of the line and run away. And I realized that these animals that I thought were really cute but didn't mind eating, they were terrified and they were aware. And how dare I put that on another living creature and take its life and eat it? And so that really sealed the deal for me, that that was not something I wanted to be a part of anymore. And I can be quite happily a bit fat and carry on with the rest of my life and never eat another animal or animal ingredient ever again. And I feel like, you know, without using the term living my best life, we're nearly there, but I don't have to take anybody else's life to live mine. And that's what I'm all about, really. So
I think it's important that you brought up there, you know, when I think when people ask, oh, you know, so when did you go vegan to other people? I think that they only think of food sometimes. And it's interesting that you said you started actually with the products and the makeup and the clean, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think people forget that it goes beyond just a food shift. There's a whole lifestyle shift that goes along with calling yourself a vegan. And, you know, Brian and I, anybody who watches us on Crocs in the Kitchen, we never claimed to be vegan. We got into this whole food plant-based diet that we eat. We started doing that purely because we were really, really overweight and we needed a way to lose weight. And we read that a plant-based diet could help us lose weight. And so we kind of come at it from a reverse standpoint, where we started with, you know, wanting to lose weight and doing this really for the weight loss. But we've learned so much from people like you just by getting involved with this, you know, because we do call what we've done a lifestyle change as well, because we feel like it goes beyond just, you know, there's more, it's more than just changing what you eat. You know, we've done, even though we don't call ourselves vegans, we have done a lifestyle change as well, just in a little bit different way. But I have the utmost respect for people like you who come at it just from the animal rights, you know, aspect and make that change solely based on the lives of the animals and that kind of stuff, because that's such a selfless thing to do. But let's talk a little bit about, so after you decided that you were going to go vegan, then what happened?
Well, then I ate everything that said vegan on it and put about 9 pounds on in a month. So
I think it's interesting because when we first started talking on Instagram, you know, you were coming at it of this, of maybe trying to get more you know, taking a vegan diet and trying to become more whole food plant-based with it, not 100%, you know, obviously that, you know, whatever, but trying to figure out healthier ways to, so you'd figured out the vegan thing. You'd gotten down like, okay, here are the swaps that I can eat. Here are the things I can do this. Like I can, you know, I don't need the animal products, but you then kind of realized, hey, maybe, and I guess that's why you found us in the end. You were looking for a little bit healthier way to go about the eating part of it.
Yeah, because all the swaps that I found are also the things that make you fat. So, I mean, I've been like this my whole life. I've always been, I had a bit of a yo-yo effect with my weight, but had, before going vegan, got to a decent, healthy weight that, and I'm not, I use the word healthy, you know, loosely, but I felt like good about myself in my jeans kind of way is what I would explain it as. And so when I went vegan, I got a bit chunkier. And that was because I was almost rewarding myself for going vegan. So I was rewarding myself with the junk food, the vegan junk food, because I was doing it for the animals. So I thought that meant I could have all these treats as a reward for doing that, which didn't have a good effect on my weight. I mean, not that I'm not massively, massively fat, but I did put a good chunk on.
You're not in, you never got to the overachiever fat club like Brian and I did. We take this seriously. We weren't going to just be like, you know, a few, what do you guys say? Stones, a few stone overweight. Is it stone or stones? I don't know.
Yeah, that's where I am. A couple of stone.
We weren't going to just get to that point. We wanted to go for the whole, like, what's bigger than a stone? Giant rock. I don't know.
Boulder.
Boulder. Yeah. So we went for the boulder.
We don't do things halfway. We go extreme all the time.
Yes. So, so it's been interesting to me because you and I had some conversations earlier in the year where I really kind of opened up to you and I said, I really wanted to, you know, cause Brian and I eat 99% plant-based. Like we're 99% of the time what we eat is plant-based, but we do have those rare and appropriate occasions. We do eat things that do still have animal products in them. And so, but for me learning, I don't know, I guess I'll always have kind of this, because I came at this from the weight loss side, you know, I feel like I'm not good enough to be like giving myself a label of being vegan ever because I didn't come at it from the right side. I don't know. I just have this weird internal struggle. And I think, earlier in the year, I decided for my health that maybe having these little rare and appropriate times, which is what we call them, where I eat off, you know, the whole food plant-based plan, if I kept those vegan, maybe it would help me stay better, you know, for my health and everything like that. And so I talked to you about, I was like, I want to eat, I decided I'm going to eat, everything I eat from this point going forward is going to be 100% vegan. And this was back in, I don't know, February, something like that. And what ended up happening is once I labeled that and said, hey, I'm going to eat only vegan stuff, I did go to the store and I was like, okay, I can't have, you know, Cheez-Its, which I don't think you guys have over there, but they're just little like cheddar cheese square, horrible for you, cracker things. I can't have those, but ooh, Wheat Thins just happen to be vegan, so I can have Wheat Thins. And
so you did what I did, you just said everything that said vegan on it.
Exactly. And it's it got to that point where I was eating stuff for this. I remember I went to Whole Foods and I came home and Brian's like, what the heck is that? I came home with this cake that was like a cheesecake, but it was vegan and it was really freaking good. But it put some reason that mind shift in my head gave me this idea that because it was vegan, I could eat it. And then I sort of got off the whole food plant-based. Like I got off the rails with that because I was just eating. I wasn't sticking to whole food plant-based at that point. And so since then I've kind of dialed it back. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to say never. I'm not going to say I'm never going to eat anything that's not vegan, but it is a struggle that I have in my head. And so I think our friendship has been really, you know, fascinating to me because we kind of come at this from this reverse perspective where, you know, you started out with all the animal rights and everything like that in your mind, and then got to a point where you realized maybe you needed to be a little bit healthier with it. And I started out with this healthy, healthy, healthy thing, and then was like, you know what, maybe, you know, I do see a problem with eating animal products. I do. And I think a lot of people do, but it's hard for them to make the switch just based on, like I said, I don't feel like I'm good enough to have made that switch based on just the animal rights, but I do see these things happening, and I don't want to eat animal products. And so,
but also I think like products like cheese, dairy cheese, mm-hmm. is seriously addictive. You get a taste for it, and it's very hard to break that yes. habit of eating it. It's just so something in it that makes you want to eat more. So until you've had a big break from it, it's very hard to give up.
Yeah.
And also every change that you make towards either a plant-based diet, whether you call yourself vegan or not, is a worthwhile. It has worth. It means you're spending your money on products to make. The only way we're going to change the world is when manufacturers stop producing, you know, animals, factory farming animals. So you're saying you don't think you're good enough, but you are, because the way you spend your money is changing the world. Whether you call yourself vegan or not, it all builds up to, you know, a good, worthwhile thing, because gradually the shift will keep going that animal products, I think, will be phased out more and more. And companies, if you spend your money on one thing and not another, they'll put their efforts into the thing you're spending money on. So like veganism is on the rise, and the more companies and manufacturers see that, they will put their efforts into that. You know, like there's a company called Flora in the UK, they've gone completely vegan, and they were, you know, dairy, margarine, butter, all that sort of thing. They've gone vegan.
Wow.
And so, you know, don't dismiss what you're doing as not good enough for the animals, but it's all worthwhile.
See, and I think that attitude is the important one to have. Is I think a lot of people go into stuff, and I am definitely one of them, with this all or nothing attitude. Like, I've got to do it all, or I should do nothing, because if I can't do it all, then what's the point, and I'm not doing good enough, or that kind of thing. And so it's important to know that, you know, we're not perfect. I always say that on our channel too. It's like, we're not perfect. This is all a work in progress. Even you talking about the process you went through to becoming vegan, you know, it wasn't like an overnight thing. It's a process. It's all a work in progress. And I think we as people are always learning and trying to do better. And, I think having that attitude of all or nothing, it's dangerous, because I think it prevents people from doing something. And so they, you know, doing a little bit to help is better than doing nothing to help. And
yeah, just do your best. Just do your best. That's all you can do.
Yeah. So I think that, I don't know. I love what you guys are doing with Sacred Space, and I love your story, like everything that you've gone through, and we could talk for hours, let's be honest. I mean, we have, about everything that you've done throughout your life. And it's just, there's just so many things that, I just like sharing these kind of stories, because I think that people can connect with it, and maybe they're somewhere more in the realm of where you are, and or maybe they're more where I am, or maybe they're somewhere in the middle, and you know, it's all okay. Like it's all okay to be as long as you're trying to do better, it's all good, I think. Do you have anything else, Brian?
No.
Oh, Brian. He's like, you took over my show.
Make this stop.
I'm good. Just close it out.
So yes, I've really enjoyed having Lisa on, and I thank you very much. I know that it's scary to come on here and bare your soul with us and all that.
Yeah.
But it's been a really good chat, and I hope everybody checks out Sacred Space, and I can't wait to get there someday and try one of those burgers. Or the
pizza. Rare and appropriate.
Yeah.
Or there were pizza fries the other day. I swear there were pizza fries. Like, what is?
Yeah. So they had chili cheese fries as well on the menu, and I'm still confused as to why they didn't call them chili cheese chips. That's just it's so nice. It's chili cheese chips. Like, but they're like, no, we went for the American chili cheese fries.
We had a whole conversation about the difference between chips and fries and all of that stuff.
Yeah, if you want to wrap this podcast up, you need to not ask those questions, because I could get on one about that right now.
That'll be a whole nother show. What's the difference between chips and fries? But yes. It's been really great having you, Lisa. And Brian, do you want to close out your own podcast?
All the standard stuff. You can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts at, be it Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes, or whatever, or Apple Podcast, or whatever it's called now.
Nothing.
I'm just saying, like, I don't use Apple, so it's like, there you go. You can also, just because, why not, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Cracks in the Kitchen on YouTube, do all that kind of stuff. But you can find links to Sacred Space as well as the bird rescue information and all that kind of stuff in the description. So definitely go do that and follow anything else on all of the other social media sites. But I think it's time to bring this one.
That's all I got.
Oh,
no,
Lisa,
no. That's on YouTube. I don't do it for this
That's all
one.
I got. You got to do it just for this episode.
No, we will do that when we are with Lisa in England and she's actually on a video for us doing something.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
Bye.